You know, it's a cool video because it just reminds us that one of the coolest promises God has made is that he answers our prayers. And I think when you think about that, it's easy when we pray and we get the answer right away. When we pray and God says yes, and all of a sudden there's the answered prayer. When we pray and God says no, okay, we didn't win the lottery again. I mean, those kind of things. But I think it's easy when we get the yes or no somewhat in a timely fashion. I think the reason that Christians, and this is just a study after study after study, struggle with prayer is because of the time that we pray and there's an in-between to the answer. There's people I know that have been praying 30, 40 years for the same thing, and they keep bringing it back to God, and God hasn't necessarily said yes, or he hasn't necessarily said no, it's just they've been praying. I know people have been praying over 15 years for their marriage. I know they've been praying over 5, 10 years for their kids. I know people that have these routine prayers in their life, and it's hard when they pray and there's a delay. And so part of what we're going to talk about today is this promise of Jesus is, I answer your prayers is still true. And we're going to talk about what he does in the in-between, and we're going to talk about some of the purposes that he has for you, that you're not left alone in that in-between. And I think this is kind of an important stuff, especially for the believer, especially for the disciple of Jesus, right? I mean, we believe in Jesus, we love him, we trust his promises, and yet life is hard sometimes, and there's all sorts of stuff that we can't control, and so we do pray. And I think we do want that vending machine God where we put in the quarter and we get what we want, right? But he's the perfect father in heaven, and he loves us. Do you have kids? I want you to think about it. The kids, they ask all sorts of stuff, and you give them to them probably most of the time, the stuff that they ask. But there's times where you say no because there's other purposes. You want to grow them. You want to mature them. You want to get them to a different place in life. And those times that you withhold or you delay the answers to those prayers or to those requests. So today, to kind of go through this, I'm going to use a parable of Jesus, and it's a parable of contrast. In other words, I guess just to kind of sum it up, we're going to be talking about a judge and a widow. And Jesus is just saying from the beginning, he goes, I'm not like this judge that's so stubborn and so hard-willed and so uncaring about everybody. I'm a God that cares about you and loves you. And not only do I hear, I want to answer your prayers. Anyway, we go through this and we see that there's a parable. And there's essentially two main characters in this parable. There's the judge, and we talk a little bit about that. He says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. In other words, this guy didn't really give a hoot about people, didn't give a hoot about God. He was hard-boiled. He was unsympathetic. He was callous in seemingly every way. And then kind of in this parable enters into it, a widow. It says in verse 3, there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me. It doesn't take too long before it gets annoying, right? But she just kept saying the same thing over and over every single day. In those days, widows had literally no rights. If you were a woman, you didn't have any rights. If you were a widow, you had even less rights because you didn't even have a husband that could stand up and speak on your behalf. In fact, in the Greek, the word widow literally means to be forsaken or left empty. Nobody to stand up for them in the midst of life as it was going through. Nobody to defend them. Nobody that was on their side. What this particular widow we see is no pushover. She had a problem, so she goes to this hard-boiled judge again and again and again. And a battle of wills, it seems, ensues in verse 4 and 5. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets her justice. Imagine the disciples as they're listening to this get kind of a little bit of humor out of this, right? This widow has no power, no weapons, nothing to kind of force her will on anybody, is intimidating this prestigious judge. She just keeps going back. She becomes a nuisance, badgering him until finally, exhausted, he just gives in. He says this, because she keeps bothering me, I see that she gets her justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with all her coming. She just keeps asking until finally, just for peace and quiet, the judge says, okay, but promise you won't come tomorrow, right? I mean, let me do this and you just won't come anymore, right? As we consider this, I think sometimes you read through that parable and you think that's what God is saying, that we're just supposed to treat God that way, right? We just keep praying until we finally wear him out and then he'll just cry mercy at some point or uncle at some point and just give us what we want. But that is not exactly the way it works, because that's the opposite of the way God works. No matter how many times I go and ask God the same thing, God loves listening to me. I don't know why, because he loves me, I guess, right? He loves this interchange that we have. He loves hearing my heart. He loves knowing what's going on in my life. He loves it when I trust him enough to ask him for stuff as I'm going through this life. So I don't annoy him. I actually make him excited when I come to him in prayer. So this is a parable of contrast. He says, if this heartless judge will help out, how much more will the God who loves you and the God that sees everything going on in your life, the God that cares about you more than anybody else, the God that sees your hurts and your fears and your anxieties, the God who pursues you with his love, that sent Jesus down to forgive you your sins, to provide a way for you to be with him in heaven, how much more so will this God pursue you with his love and answer your prayer? That's what verse 7 kind of says. Will not God then bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get their justice and that they get it quickly. Point of the story is that God's eager to answer our prayers. So I want you to think of one of those longstanding prayers that you've been having. I had my grandma prayed for 30 years for my aunt to come back to faith, and amazingly she did, right? 30 years of praying the same prayer every single day, saying, God, please save my daughter. God, please let my daughter be with you in heaven, until one day, 30 years later, she comes to faith again. What is it in your life that you've been praying about? Is it finances? Is it health? Is it relationships? Your kids? Your spouse? What is it that God has pushed a delay button on and it's killing you? It makes you not want to go to him in prayer. It makes you frustrated about this inaction or his inanswer. What is it that he's pressed the delay button on? And then can you hear the promise, I answer your prayers? We know that when we experience one thing or hear one thing and God shares the exact opposite, that God's always right. I love you and I want to answer your prayers. He's again the perfect dad. He loves you more than you can comprehend. And he's saying, I'm not like this judge. I'm eager to answer your prayers. So we have this kind of this tension, don't we? We have the prayers that we've been praying for a while, and we have no answer yet. So how does God answer in the midst of that in-between? What is he doing in the midst of that in-between? Why has there been this delay for a God that wants to bless his kids? I'm going to give you four things that Scripture talks about on why God delays answers to prayer. And these things should give you confidence as you move forward. It should give you peace in the midst of the in-between. It's like me saying, God's working, right? Just trust that he's working. But there's four things specifically. First one is that persistent prayer helps me focus on God. There's been a time in your life where, I don't know, maybe God isn't on the back burner, but he's certainly not in the forefront of your mind. You're attacking everything that's coming at you in life. You got school, or you got work, or you got relationships, or you got family concerns, or you got budgetary concerns, or you got whatever concerns. And you're trying to fight off all these battles. You're trying to be the be-all and end-all of your wisdom. And somehow within your ability, you're kind of checking off one after the other. I've got this under control, we say. But all of a sudden, then you don't. Is God the first person that you go to? Has he been first on your and foremost in your thoughts as you've been going through these struggles and these battles? Or has it been everything else in the world? I think we try to be the be-all and end-all. We don't go to God unless we can't figure it out. But before we go to God, lots of times we'll go to everybody else. We'll go to our friends, or we'll go to the doctors, or we'll go to the government, or we'll go to whoever to try to find an answer somehow within our control. God says, no, I want you to focus on me. I've got you. I am the source of all your blessing. I am the one who answers your prayer. He wants to remind us who the source is in our life. God wants us to remember that he alone is the source of all the answers to our prayer. So Paul writes in Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that we get to meet all our needs. To be honest, there's so much in our life that's out of control, isn't there? I mean, we like to pretend we got it, and that's why we worry and get anxious and stressed and are fearful over all sorts of things. There's our attempts at trying to control the uncontrollables in our life. But sometimes God just wants to get our attention and say, no. I'm working. I've got you. I need you to trust in me again. You're taking too much of life upon yourself. You're wearing yourself ragged by doing all this. I need you to focus again on me. And when he delays those answers, what does it do? We can't control it. So again, we go back to him again and again and again until finally our focus starts to shift from us to him. Psalm 105, then that's what the psalmist is trying to tell us. Look to the Lord. Go to him for help. And so one of the first things persistent praying does, one of the first things that those delays do in our life is it gets the focus off of our belly buttons and back to the God who can actually do something about it. And sometimes it takes those uncontrollables and it takes those delays to somehow get our attention back on him. What else? Persistent praying clarifies our requests. Delayed answer a lot of times is not a no, but it's a time to clarify, what do I really want when I'm praying this? Have you ever changed your prayers? Like this week you're praying this, but then, I don't know, a couple weeks go by and you're like, oh, maybe I don't really want that. Maybe I want this thing over here. You know, I mean, do you ever change these things? And sometimes a delay just helps us clarify what it is that we're really asking for God in life. I think lots of times we pray way too nebulously, right? Way too vaguely. God, I want you to give me these things. And then we don't know what those things are because we haven't itemized them. And so how do we know if he's answered or not? Or God, bless my life. You know, scripture says that sometimes a blessing is a problem. Is that what you're praying for? God, bring lots of problems on my life. Please don't do that, right? But the reality is you got to be specific. When we're going to God in prayer, it's a relationship that we're forming. God says, ask me what's going on. And sometimes if you're not getting it right or if you've gotten off the reservation a little bit on these requests, I'm going to help clarify them by the delay. Time gives you more time to clarify what it is that you want. Waiting helps refine our prayers. But again, it's asking this question, do I really want what it is that I'm praying for? My grandma, again, she prayed for 30 years for my aunt to come back to faith, and God answered that prayer. But how many prayers do we pray like one time and then we never pray them again? There's a difference about how badly we want that thing, isn't it? In Zechariah 13:9, it says, I will test them as gold is tested, and then they will pray and I will answer them. Time separates deep longings from mere whims. I mean, I pray to win the lottery, but I don't keep praying to win the lottery. Partly because I don't buy enough tickets. But the reality is, that's not a constant prayer. It's not important enough to me if I win the lottery. But my kids staying in the faith or reconciling a relationship or having financial help or whatever the concerns, health or whatever the deal, those things are things that are important enough that keep me going back to them again and again and again. I've prayed for things in my life sometimes that during the delay I've actually changed what it is I've wanted. Didn't realize I needed this. I thought I wanted this. In fact, I share with you my 20s dating record. It goes like this. I was dumped, right? And during that experience, I thought I wanted this, and I thought I wanted this. I was praying all the whole time, let this be the one, and no. Thanks be to God for that, by the way. Because God knew what he was doing. He knew what I needed versus what I thought I needed at the time. He had to grow me in that intermission. He had to prepare my wife for me. I'm a handful, right? I mean, she had to be worked on. The reality is that sometimes during the delays, it helps us figure out what's really important in life. So God sometimes delays the answer to test us. Do you really want this? And it's not that he doesn't want to give it to us. He just wants to know if you really want it. Do you want it enough to keep on praying? Again, many times during the delay, you'll find that you modify your prayer request. You change it, you clarify it until it becomes clear. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In other words, nothing worthwhile comes from half-hearted prayers. He says, seek me with all your heart and keep on seeking me until those things that you're bringing to me have been crystallized. There's other things that he does as well. Persistent praying or the delay prepares me for the answer. Kind of like for my wife, right? And her for me. The reality is that God usually wants to do more than what we're praying for. God wants to do a bigger, greater, better, right? In ways that we couldn't comprehend. Ephesians 3:20 says, now glory be to God who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. In other words, God wants to do it better. You know, I referenced my dating life, but God knew what I needed. He knew the woman I needed in my life, the one that could corral the mess that it is, right? I mean, that would still love me despite all this. He knew who I needed in this life. And he had to prepare me for her to be the man that she needed, to grow me, to mature me, to make me the person that, not just that I needed, but that she needed. Sometimes I think we ask for small blessings, too small blessings, and God denies it. Why? Because he wants to do something bigger and better down the road. He wants to do it greater, and he needs time to get us ready for it. Because of that, I'm incredibly thankful for some of the prayers that God has just said no to or delayed so long and changed what it is that I've been looking for. Because if they would have been answered, I wouldn't have been ready for it. Truth is, there are changes that God wants to make in me and in you. People say prayer changes things, and it does, but it also changes us. And God is way more interested in us than he is the circumstances. He wants to make some changes in your life. And sometimes that's why there's the delay. I know as I was thinking about going into ministry, there's a lot of things that he had to mature in me to make me ready to go into ministry. I wasn't ready as a 15-year-old or as an 18-year-old, as a 20-year-old, or as even a 25-year-old. They have you go through a process of vicarage and all sorts of things to prepare you so that you're not a complete mess when you get out. Often as soon as you made the changes in your life that God is looking to make, he gives you the answer to your prayer. For answered prayer, it's not a matter of us waiting on God so much. It's a matter of God waiting on us and getting us ready. When we're ready, the doors of heaven tend to open. Prayer is really not some tug of war with God. It's really more and more where God's working on us to get us ready for what is to come. There was a missionary I read about one time who prayed for 8 years that a person would be converted in his area. Think about this. He's been there 8 years in this foreign country, in this little village, and he's been going out day after day after day, sharing the message of Jesus, and for 8 years, not one soul converts. He was frustrated, but he said, God, I know you've called me to this place. I know there's things that you want to do here. And he kept praying and said, God, please do your work. Seemingly on a random day, the whole tribe made their commitment for Jesus. And he baptized over 12,000 people in one day. He wasn't ready for the blessing initially. He needed to prepare him, needed to prepare the village, the tribe. And in one day, God did it greater than anything he could have ever imagined. And there's finally a fourth thing that he does in the in-between. He strengthens our faith. That is if we keep trusting him. You know, we can use faith, but I like to use the word trust because I think we use it more in our culture and it's more identifiable, but God wants us to trust him. And when we pray and we don't get the answer right away, isn't it easy to doubt? Isn't it easy to give up? Isn't it easy to say to ourselves, well, I guess this isn't the answer? God wants us to grow our faith, our trust in him as we go through this life. And the more we trust him, again, that's where all the good stuff comes from, right? The more we trust him, the more peace we have. The more we trust him, the more freedom we get from our past. The more we trust him, the more strength we have to fight our battles. The more we trust him, the more hope that we have in heaven or that tomorrow will be better than it is today. You know, if you've ever been in a place like that where you've had to trust God continually, you get that faith is matured in the in-between. I mean, faith is like a muscle. It has to be worked out, right, to get stronger. And that's exactly what happens when we pray and then we wait. In fact, some has defined Christian maturity as how long can you wait? Galatians 6:9 says, let us then not become weary. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. He's saying, hang on, be patient. The harvest is coming. Hold on a little bit and look up and see what it is that I'm doing. Truth is, God's timing is perfect. We don't really care about that. Usually we just want it in our timing, but God's timing is perfect. He knew when it is that I needed to meet my wife, Beth. His timing was perfect. It wouldn't have worked at so many other times in my life, but it worked then. When I've seen God answer prayers, this water line, it seems like it's been forever, but that timing was perfect. God did something that we couldn't do by ourselves. God's delays are not God's denials because he's working in the in-between. They're there to focus you on God. They're there to clarify your vision. They are there to prepare you for greater blessings. The longer you wait, sometimes the greater miracles he does. They are there to strengthen and to test and to challenge and to develop your faith. So Jesus concludes this message, or this parable, in kind of a weird way. He says this, "I tell you, quickly he will see justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Seems like he's almost disjointed from the previous conversation, isn't it? It says again, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Why does he say that? Because ultimately, this story is not just about praying persistently, is it? It's about having faith. It's about trusting God in that in-between. Why does he mention faith? Because the size of your prayers determine the size of your God. Do you have a big God? Or do you have a little God? All you have to do really is look at your prayers and look at the prayer requests. Are you praying for something big? Or are you praying for something small that you could do under your own power? If you got a big God, you're praying for big things. You're saying, God, show up in my kid's life. Show up in my marriage. Show up in my finances. Show up in the church. Do your thing in ways and do things that we can't do by ourselves. Do not limit how big your Jesus can be for you. Not by your reason, not by your own ability, but believe in him for more. That's part of the test, isn't it? It's part of the journey of that in-between. Will I continue to trust God when I can't control a lick of it? Can I continue to trust God when I don't know what it is that he's doing behind the scenes? Will I continue to trust that he's got me, that he loves me, and he's working still for my good when I can't see anything? See, we're reminded in Scripture that we're loved and forgiven by an amazing God. That this God of ours pursues us with his love, that he cares so much about us. And he does say to us, I'm working. And he does promise us, I will answer your prayers. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And this topic is, I think, hard for us, Lord. Everybody here has prayed for something and there's been a delay. And we don't like the delays and we freak out in the delays and we worry in the delays. And then we think you don't care, that you don't hear, that the answer is no. And we just, so often we just quit. And that's affected our prayer life, Lord. To be honest, it makes us hesitant about coming to you with other things. And it's kind of developed this process that we, as we go through life, we're not coming to you first, we're coming to you last. Father, we pray that you would change our hearts and our minds on this whole prayer thing. That we would see you as the God that, to be honest, answers most of the time right away, but as the God who loves us. And that even in those times where you say, wait, that you're working, that you're growing us, that you're preparing us, that you're strengthening us, not just to be the people of God that you want us to be, but to be ready for the blessing when it comes. So God, remind us today that you've got us anew. Remind us that you're always working anew. May that give us boldness and strength to keep on praying to you all the days of our life. And we pray that today in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.